Art Blakey in the Jazz Messengers with Crisis. That's a very famous tune. And for all jazz lovers, it is a must that you have a copy in your library. This was first released in 1962, remastered in 2005. Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Cedar Walton on piano, and Jimmy Merritt on bass. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Treece Lead, and I think there are forces wanting to see a major conflagration in this country. Just a convulsion of violence in this country. I can't figure out what else it could be. You know, this has got to stop. We keep hearing that phrase, and now I'm saying it myself, this has got to stop. But of course it's not stopping. There's another police killing, and it is causing a great deal of upheaval. People are in the street. And at some point, there should be serious leadership behind a solution. We have a 46-year-old man, 42, Andrew Brown Jr. from Elizabeth City, North Carolina, shot multiple times in his driveway. Apparently, there was a warrant out for his arrest for some minor charge. It was not a major charge. And he was getting ready to leave his home. He was in his car and getting ready to just ease out when he was surrounded by a battalion of police. And, of course, the consequent shooting, leaving him dead. And the shots included a shot to the back of his head. Now, he's still seated behind the steering wheel. His hands, both of them, are on the steering wheel. And all of this shooting occurs. And he had no way to escape that. The police cars blocked him in. He couldn't get out of his own car. He couldn't avoid being shot. And so he was, many times. As I said, including, according to his lawyer, a shot to the back of his head. Now, I don't care really about any explanation to ameliorate this kind of attack that we see happening time and again. And, you know, people are saying, well, we will take a deeper look at this, we'll investigate, and it's already too late for Andrew Brown and his family. If this were a situation where Andrew Brown was declared a national quarry, you know, people all over the country looking for him because he was involved in some heinous crimes, and they got wind that he's holed up someplace and squad cars are surrounding him. If it were that kind of a drama, and even so, times have evolved. You have the advantage. Why do we have to constantly go back to these tried and true methods of police executions. That's what it was. There's no other word for it. You see, he is alone. He's not armed. His hands, both of them, are on the steering wheel of his vehicle. Okay, so you have a warrant for his arrest for what? We don't know yet. I don't know yet. Well, you know, make quick work of it and get the paperwork done, blah, 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 blah. If this were a white man, that's what they would do. We have a warrant for your arrest. You apparently kicked the neighbor's dog. The dog has died. And so we have to arrest you and bring you down to the station house and formally lodge charges against you. Okay, that's police work. This is not police work. And I think because these things are happening so often now, we are getting more and more numbed by these incidents. And, you know, it's just like, well, it's just another shooting. Let's get past it as fast as we can. No. This suggests there is something else happening here. And it's been happening for a long time. We, the public, are not supposed to care. It's just one black guy less in the world. We should be happy about that. This is, in fact, a white racist system. And they think like that. So we shouldn't be too bothered about it. And we should wait until we hear more from the police, who at this moment are in possession of critical pieces of evidence that have not been shared with the attorney for his family or his family itself. But we do know that he's dead at age 42. In a driveway, in his car, with his hands on the wheel, trying to just go about his business. And then this sea of cops descends on him, surrounds him, and in no time, the shooting begins. He isn't shooting. He doesn't have a weapon. And so when these things happen, and happen with such alarming regularity, we have to stop and say, this is not normal. The vast majority of people killed this way are people of color, specifically African American, and specifically men. That should excite some kind of study. That should cause some grief. That should cause alarm. What is this thing that is happening where the police are squaring off against black people and specifically black men and killing them at will? A bullet to the back of the head among all of the other bullets fired does not sound to me, and I know I'm not a police officer, does not sound to me like the normal way of effecting an arrest. It does not sound to me like things were going, even if it's an arrest or an attempted arrest, according to the book, according to the law. Doesn't sound like it was working that way, or worse, that it was intended to work that way. So we can see the inevitability of a larger confrontation. In fact, not just a confrontation, but a conflagration. How much can people take? And we get all these ridiculous explanations. In this case, for example, the lawyer for the family reports at a news conference that they were allowed to see exactly 20 seconds of the police cam, the body cam, 20 seconds worth of it. That's it. I feel somebody is stoking the inevitable conflagration here, where people will be out in the streets, where there will be a major outbreak of violence, and people, you know, they start cringing at the word violence. But you have to see things in context. I'm not advocating it either. But I'm saying, I'm asking the question, how long does this continue? And with the expectation that the police officer involved will not have a price to pay. One minute, Andrew Bowman was alive. Andrew Brown, sorry, was alive. The next minute, he's dead. That's the end of Andrew Brown. But I suggest to you and to the authorities, you're creating, as I said before, a conflagration with these so-called incidents. And then we get the customary statements afterwards that, you know, it's being investigated. We can't comment about it. And the family is also saying now they were allowed to see only 20 seconds. And that should be enough for them. I am so angry right now. I didn't even sleep that well. I'm thinking, is there somebody in a room somewhere sitting down with other compatriots thinking up ways in which to foment massive violence? Is there somebody doing that? Is there somebody in charge of a program to exercise great harm to the Black community so as to get them to take a leave of their senses or to throw caution to the wind, arm themselves, and say, well, if this is what my life is to be devoted to, here it goes. But I will not stand another day of this treatment. And it is clear as day. I don't care how many excuses they come up with now. It it just can't explain what seems to be systematic and methodical killing of Black people and people of color generally. It, in fact, is a violent expression of the state's power, which, by the way, seems to be uncontested. And even when contested, it's still iffy if they will do you the grand favor of obeying the law. Somebody, or maybe it's a small group, or maybe it's a big group, is working hard to provoke monumental violence in this country. Somebody is working really hard to get Black people and Latinos basically at the edge. Somebody is working very hard to annihilate people. There's no other logical explanation for the regularity of these so-called tragedies. We've had enough tragedy. But I tell you, with the lack of response, appropriate response, people will become people who never before thought that they would think this way, will become convinced that this is a war. With the intent of destroying people of color, destroying them and their communities, and get away with it under the color, pardon that pun, of the law. So you had to deliver a warrant for somebody's arrest, or you had to deliver a legal document to a person who you saw get into his car and was about to put the key into his ignition. He's not running anywhere. He's not evading or trying to evade arrest. He's just going about his business. And the only way, that this must turn out for people who are specifically trained to decelerate, to bring things down, not to hype them up. The only way they could figure to handle this is guns drawn and shooting begins, including a bullet to the back of this man's head. Now, some people may want to get technical and say, well, it was just accidental. Yeah, he's accidentally dead. I call it what the lawyers call it. This was an execution. And at some point, the citizenry has to rise up and say, this is not the way we will have you make us live. This is not the kind of life that is suitable to me or to anybody else in my community. I'm not having it. And we will find that there are people so angry that they will see this as an expression of war. This is a declaration of war. What is it that you're trying to provoke? What is it that you're trying to provoke but war? I thought of this man and his family all night. I never met him. I don't know him. I didn't know of him. But all I could think of saying within myself is that I hope you're okay now. I hope you're okay now. But you're not forgotten. You will not be forgotten. You were a casualty of war, which began centuries ago in this country. And regardless of how it morphs into a different thing, a different look, it's the same war we're fighting. I thought of his family. Here's a man going about his business. All right, so somebody decided he ought to be arrested for some charge or the other. We still don't know. Okay. So does that mean he forfeits his life? And we should be okay with it? He's unarmed. He has both hands on the steering wheel. Does that give the authorities the right to take his life? And then on top of that, the right to expect no reaction from the community from which he comes. Oh no, that tells me there's something afoot here. There has to be something afoot here to provoke a confrontation, to provoke a war, to provoke a violent reaction. I think that's the plan. Oh, I went over time here. Didn't realize I was talking this much. So, why don't we take a little break and come back to your thoughts right after this? You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm talking about, it's not being discussed really. I'm talking about it as a fact because I expect it to be. a war that is being provoked between the police and perhaps later on even the military. But it cannot be the case that this is all incidental and casual and, you know, it just happenstance. But I was talking about Andrew Brown Jr., 42 years old, killed while sitting behind his steering wheel with both hands on the wheel, shot multiple times, shot at multiple more times. In less than 30 seconds, this man was dispatched from the earth under the guise that the police were looking for him. They had a warrant for his arrest for what we don't know. But that process that occurred was supposed to be a typical process. If you're Black in this nation, this is what happens. You're Black, you're male, this is what is accorded you under the color of law. So I ask, I'm positing a theory. I have absolutely no proof. I'm going on the premise that this could not be accidental. I'm done with thinking that. The attacks on Blacks, especially Black men, are so frequent, so violent, so vicious, so deadly. This can't be just accidental. This is an expression of a prevailing, though secret, agenda. There has been no rectification of this. There's not even the appetite to address it. And I am not going to join the law and order campaign because many in that campaign are themselves afoul of law and order. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air. Leona? You're there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. I think you're correct about there being, a deliberate move afoot of some sort to provoke even greater violence, because, you know, this war has been going on for centuries, as you indicated. I wanted to add a couple of one. Well, here's the deal: that Chauvin trial, the guilty verdict, it came down on April 20th, 2021, which happens to be the birthday of Adolf Hitler, one of the outstanding white supremacist leaders in recent history. It would have been his 132nd birthday. April 20, 1889, I think that's when he was born. And this shooting of Mr. Brown happened the day after the Chauvin verdict, according to the thing I read, the Chauvin guilty verdict. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, retaliation of some sort. I'm told that oftentimes, there are big celebrations in certain parts of the United States of America on Adolf Hitler's birthday. And for that guilty verdict to come down on his birthday, I don't know, it may have been I don't know how the Hitler celebrators interpreted that guilty verdict. I don't know. But in closing, let me just say that I think Dr. Welsing is correct. Her theory has yet to be disproved, in my view. I would encourage people to read her work, watch her videos on YouTube, her book, The ISIS Papers, and the Kress Theory of Color Confrontation. In addition to that, I would encourage people to look at the work of Neely Fuller, Jr., perhaps even visit his website called producejustice.com. And I think it's important to realize that to the extent that you understand your environment is the extent that you can exercise control over your life. I know in my own life I've been mistaught, miseducated for years and years. They told me I was living in a democracy, but really I'm living under the system of racism, white supremacy. Again, my opinion. So that's all I wanted to share today.
All right. Thank you so much.
I hope that Mr.
Brown
is
getting us started today. Thank you.
Yes,
Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hey, Therese, how are you doing today?
Okay, I'm a bit down today, as you can tell.
I know, and I'm going to tell you, as always, Professor, you had hit into something. Because last night, I had a friend of mine, and she's an activist, too. And we put the TV on, we put CNN, and one of the stranger things that happened on CNN, that the news reporter, I don't know how many times he was saying that people were peaceful marching in North Carolina. He kept saying the same thing. And even the gentleman that he was interviewing was saying, yeah, we are peaceful, we are peaceful. And that word was used so many times during the time that he was giving that report, that it's almost like, it was almost like it's strange. So the reason that I say that you hit into something is because it is a provocation. And you're right. They want a war. They are looking for a war. And I will say this, like Leona said, that we don't know why this thing came down on the 20th, but I will say this. I believe this thing with this verdict about this man found guilty is not over. It's not over. The thing that these people are going to do, it's going to be on, and they already started. And if you notice, you said the Muslim men are male, especially African-American male for the most part. One thing that I noticed is that they don't kill all men. Most of the men that they kill, they either in their 50s or low 40s. And now look at that young man. He was 20, and the Latino kid, which he was 13 years old. So it's not over. I will say my recommendation to, and it is too bad that I only have one child, and I'm not in childbearing age. Every woman of color should have kids, because we got, especially in this country, we have to do what the Jewish do. We wanted to have a seed in here, especially in this land. They keep killing us, we keep having them. We have to. We can't stop having kids. And my last thing is, some of the cops, they are retired. Some of the ones that they shoot Mr. Brown. But you know what? Every time that they retire, the worst thing of all is that they get a full pension. A full pension after killing somebody. And this has to stop. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you for letting me sing.
Thank you for calling in and saying it. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yesterday, you had mentioned that you had observed the lack of adults in the atmosphere of the video you had watched.
Yes.
And the adults are where Andrew Brown is at right now, either six feet under or locked up in jail. This has been going on for decades. And not only are they killing the adults, but they're having the kids. I mean, what happened, you know, with the young lady with the knife, happens so often with these brawls and fights in public, and they post them on YouTube, and they go crazy, and there's no supervision. There's nobody raising these kids. I agree with Ali. We have to keep populating, but we need to keep an eye on our children. Do not let the streets raise our children. My kids, we eyeballing our kids from when they wake up in the morning to when they go to bed at night. They go to bed. I make sure my kids go to bed before I go to bed. Okay, we gotta keep our kids safe. And another thing is, this is a systematic problem that has I mean it's been going on forever, but I mean this modern day version of it dates back to the civil rights movement. Okay, and the problem is that we are convinced that what this system is doing is good for us, when in fact it's actually bad for us, because we depend on this system so much that we give up our ability. I believe Leona was talking about controlling our own lives. We put our hands in the control of the system that doesn't have our best interests at heart. Okay, so we need to be able to be more independent of the system. I've talked in the past, not to get too long on this, but you have to live a parallel life within this system. You're allowed to be brainwashed into this system that is designed to destroy our families, break it up, and create the destruction that they're creating.
Thank you for calling in and contributing today. Thanks a lot, Tony. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Atrice. How are you? It doesn't sound like you slept last night.
I know.
It was a wonderful, I'm glad you opened the show the way you did. It was very, very profound. And I was thinking this morning when I woke up, there was a white police officer that was apparently hit by a drunken driver last night, a black woman who had a suspended license. And what stuck out for me was that they closed down the roads in Manhattan to bring his body in. I mean, it wasn't a funeral. It was just bringing his body. It was transporting his body. So two bridges were closed. And I thought, this is kind of interesting yes, he got killed in line of duty, but this is not a funeral. This is just bringing him back in. But it got lots and lots of attention on the TV, and it was really a big deal. And it just seems to me that almost like a vendetta is going on. This has been going on for years, but it seems that wherever the police can take a swipe now, they're just kind of doing it wherever they can and if they can. And I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it has to do with a lot of the Black Lives Matter movement, years of prejudice, but societal things too. And I agree, there is an agenda, but I want to take everybody's kind of brain and pull it all the way open, because I want us to look at the whole picture too. I think when we get stuck on, we should do what the Jews do, and we should do, the Jews are also being persecuted right now too, with what is known as an experimental drug that's been given out to their population for this disease, and it is still an experimental drug, and they're also worried. I think that there's a lot of things going on the planet now, and these are not conspiracies. I mean, conspiracies, by the way, happen. I'm sorry, but they do happen. John Kennedy did not die the way they said he happened. The math doesn't work out. Anyway, I would agree with you. There is an agenda here. And I don't have the answer for it. I also wanted to speak a little bit about the young lady yesterday, if that's okay, if I just chime in, because
sure.
That was something
yes.
that was so troubling to me when I saw it. Eutrice, I got you. I'm so glad you talked about how kids love to act out and get lots of attention, and the more attention they're getting, the better it is for them. And it was amazing to me that this girl, it happened so quick. She's 16 years old, and a steak knife is not a gun. And I'm pretty sure somebody could have wrestled her to the ground and gotten that away from her. But given her past and given, you know, I'm sure she's now living in a very different surrounding setting. I'm sure there's all kinds of issues. I'm not condoning what she did. But I will also say one last thing, because I think that people were talking about raising of your children. Well, I heard something very interesting on Gary Noel the other day, and I've told you how I feel about just throwing babies into daycare or pre-K, if they don't have to be. If there's a parent, if there's enough wealth in the family and one parent can raise them, that to me, I think you should never lose that time of bonding, because it's so special for parents to have that, at least through 1 through 6. So if you can afford to do it, I would tell you, don't lose that. But I also would say to you, what she was talking about was the Nazis. It was very, very important for them to get into public schools to make sure that all of the kids are being taught by the government. And we should remember that all the pre-K that they're now opening up is mostly put together or being paid for by the government. That means your child's going to learn the way the government wants to tell them to learn. And that means you have very little say in what's going to happen later on in life, because it's hard to undo those formative years. And when I see six-month-old babies just being tossed in there like turkeys, and I saw it the other day, you know, that there are 10 carriages all lined up, kids in these little things that look like handcuffs walking down the street, 20 of them all tied together. One kid fell down and they all fell on her. But my point is, I think that all of these things are happening at one time. It's not just the killing of the blacks, and it's certainly supposed to be like that. There is an agenda to do it. There is an agenda to make a total race war. I really and truly believe that. But there's also an agenda at the same time to do many other things. I'm not going to mention them all, but many of them I think Gary Noel covers, and I think that we should all at least be open to the information. So I will say that I am, as I told you before, my husband's brother was shot to death in the back of the head by a policeman in 1963 on a traffic stop. He did not have an arrest warrant. He was simply traveling with a classmate who happened to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl in the state of California, where Ronald Reagan was the racist governor of that state. And so I empathize with the family, and I'm so glad that there is somebody like you to speak the pain that they feel, because you did a beautiful job, and I think it's something we all need to keep working towards stopping.
Thank you so much. Thank you for courage, too. Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Well, hanging in.
You share my sentiments. I wouldn't go so far as to say there's some type of plot or design directed at black men in this country. People don't realize the relationship between race and class, specifically in America, how close the relationship between race and class is, and how America is in, I believe it's in the throes of a decline. And there are powers that be, forces that are doing what was done years ago, because history just repeats itself, as far as the classification of African-Americans as being criminal, as far as throwing your auspices behind law enforcement, as far as letting law enforcement be the pit bull of the power elite, and that these things repeat themselves as history does. And the only answer is community and unity and people rising up, which is what's happening. And I believe that there is a question of control. And we're at a watershed event now. I mean, with the pandemic, with what happened with George Floyd, with what's happening with Black Lives Matter, happening with protests, the younger generation that's coming up. We're at that moment where people are questioning this American experiment. And it's a good thing. Like anything, when you're growing, you've got growing pains, you've got issues as you grow, but out of it, something good can come. But we just have to be vigilant and stay a course. And I think we're in, I think that the process of finding that course is starting to gel now. The closest time I can equate to my personal observation of history is during the 1930s, when socialism, when you had communist parties, when you had a large active union movement, when this country was open for different ideas, and then the coming of World War II caused that to be closed down because of the Cold War and the fight against communism. But people are questioning race and class. People are questioning wealth, the calcification of wealth, and how one person can build rockets to the moon and Mars while people starving in the streets during a pandemic, where we still can't even talk about national or some type of free health care for everyone. So I think those questions are coming up and people are getting frustrated. But out of great trepidation can come great growth. And I'm optimistic. I hope that this is the precipice of something good, even though I might not be around to see it. But hopefully this is the genesis of a new beginning.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Ed. Jamila from Louisiana, you're on the air.
Thank you, Therese, and the PRN listening family.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, today is the birthday of Hubert Harrison, and I never did get a chance to thank you for that wonderful 3 days, the wonderful talk that Mr. Perry and yourself had.
It was whole week we talked about
the
Hubert
whole week.
Harrison.
It was just so enlightening and so refreshing to hear the life of that great man and to give him some of the recognition that he deserves. So I never did get a chance to thank you for that. So thank you today on Hubert Harrison's birthday. And in terms of our topic today, when I see Europeans killing, mass killings of people, and they're taken in alive, and we see how black men and women are just shot with, no provocation, it is really disturbing. So I understand your feeling and understand the comments of all the PRN audience today. And that's what I wanted to say, that I do agree. And just from seeing how they treat other people, other Europeans, and take them in alive after they've shot mass shooters, so the contrast, to see that contrast, it really is disturbing. And what our solution is something that we probably have to dialogue about and try to figure out where do we go from here. In light of, all the things that are happening. But thank you for bringing up that topic. And happy birthday
and
to Hubert Harrison today.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you for reminding us about Hubert Harrison's birthday, too. Thank you. Daryl from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Good evening, Eutrice Lee from the Bronx,
okay.
Daryl.
You're kind of early for evening. It's still afternoon.
Depends on what time zone you're in, Eutrice.
No question about that.
Doesn't mean I'm in the Bronx. However, what would help you is to go to Fox News, go to the internet, look at the Fox News coverage of the Andrew Brown assassination, and you'll find that there's a 180-page rap sheet. There was an informant that was used by the police to conduct drug buys just hours before the raid, and that what was the other key and important thing? Let me see. So yes, he'd been dealing drugs for over 30 years, there was no discussion of the raid itself. There was no discussion of the 20 seconds. There was no discussion about anything other than, once again, the perpetrator. Now, that would be cool, except the reason I'm asking you to go to Fox News and look at their coverage of, read the coverage, is the comments that then come from that. If those people wouldn't be criminals, then our police wouldn't be overstressed. Why can't they learn how to behave? I will respect black people when black people respect black people. And that's just the beginning of the comment. So when you say that it looks like a setup, COINTELPRO has not died. We are now fortifying the Guatemalan border so that whatever. And people will continue to die until we get a common history that we all agree on. Whether it happened or not doesn't really matter, so that we can then move ahead. My position is, what did Marcus Garvey say? Let Europeans do European things. Just leave me alone. Because when I have made progress in this country, you have taken it from me forcefully because I wasn't able
to.
The
way I see it.
You okay?
Am I being heard?
Well, you are now. You weren't when you commented. I got to the way I see it.
The way I see it, because I heard a beep and I didn't know what that was. We have a long way to go, but we have to start talking honestly. We have to start talking honestly and recognizing our internal contradictions as well. And there's a lot to talk about, but we have to do it. We have to face the facts that way too much is wrong in our community. And people are assisting it, aiding and abetting it. And we have to put the spotlight on them too. But we're out of time, and I thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you.
Can you just say one more thing about that?
Well, I'm out of time.
Well, I understand that, and I'll see if I can get in tomorrow. But just think about how we got that way. It don't come.
Matter how we got that way. What matters is we are that way now. And let's fix it.
It will take
another 30 years to discuss how we got.
We can do it relatively quickly. Relatively quickly. Okay. I'll call in tomorrow.
Out of time. Thank you. Thank you so much for your contribution. Even under duress, you remain cool. That's great. Thank you all for contributing today. We'll get back with each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.